This is Cruise Radio.
I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Here we go.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. Joe is with us this morning to talk all about the brand new Carnival Jubilee. He joins us on the line now. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Can't wait to get a comprehensive review of this ship because I was on it, as you know, just for two or three nights, and there was no passengers on board. So I really couldn't experience like an authentic Carnival Jubilee sailing. So that's why we have you on here. So we'll, as we always do, we'll take a step back here and get some pre-cruise thoughts from you. What made you want to take this seven-night cruise on Jubilee?
Well, Doug, this was a great opportunity to get on board the Jubilee. Just to take you back in 2003, I stepped aboard my very first cruise ever, which was on the Carnival Jubilee out of Galveston back in 2003. And that kind of started my love for cruising. And this actually celebrated my 25th Carnival sailing on this new Carnival Jubilee.
You got that white card now, or at least just for one sailing.
Yeah. Actually, the first time I ever received a white card.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
You live up in the Oklahoma area, I should say over, I guess, from Florida. Is that a quick little drive down to the Gulf Coast or do you fly?
You know, both are good options, Doug. We are about 8.5 hours on a drive down to Galveston. And it's, you know, you take a day before the cruise and drive down and stay on Galveston Island. And it's what we did on this trip. And it was a good drive.
You go to embark at Carnival Jubilee out at Terminal 25 there. Now, have you been to this terminal before? Like last time you sailed Jubilee, was it out of T25 down there? And also the enhancements. Are the enhancements as good as, say, that new Carnival terminal in Port Miami for Celebration?
Yes, Doug. In fact, it was the exact same terminal. Of course, it's been upgraded, remodeled, and refreshed 3 or 4 times since those days. Mm-hmm. But it was the exact same terminal area. You know, we've sailed throughout the years Princess out of the same terminal nearby. Now, Royal Caribbean has since built a new terminal near there, just up the road. And so there's a lot of refurbishments, a lot of investment going on there at the port has really brought it up to date, makes it a pretty streamlined process.
And is it like the Carnival Celebration terminal in Miami with all these new enhancements?
You know, it is as far as passenger flow. I would say Miami may have it a little more streamlined just because it's a little newer facility. Mm-hmm. Now, Galveston, of course, it tends to bottleneck as you're entering into the pier complex itself. But once you get in, you know, they've got the divided aisles and they move you through pretty quickly. I mean, you know, it's a big line that's a herd of people trying to move through. And they've got the boarding times, you know, set up nowadays to where if you show up on your boarding time, you get through reasonably quickly.
Do they enforce that over there as well? If you say you had a 2 o'clock boarding time and you show up at 11:30?
You know, I did see a few guests being stopped and turned around, which is sometimes is odd, but at least they're trying to enforce that somewhat. We had a 10:30 boarding time. And I think we showed up at about 10:45 or 11. And really, we never stopped walking. We just walked right through the doors, right into the lines, right through check-in, right through security, right past the guys taking the photographs and right onto the ship. We never stopped.
Very nice. So you make your way. Actually, how long did it take you then from curb to ship?
I would say 10 minutes curb to ship.
All right. You're on Carnival Jubilee. It's time to get some first impressions. I'm sure a lot different than the original Carnival Jubilee.
You know, it's been so long. Sometimes it's hard to remember what it looked like whenever you stepped into the atrium of the very first Jubilee. But this Jubilee certainly takes the cake. It is beautifully decorated. You know, it's brand new. There's nothing like the smell of a brand new ship. Everything is sparkly and shiny and you know, there's things to see everywhere, up, down, sideways, you name it. Something's always catching your eye. But, you know, we made our way onto the ship pretty quickly. And you enter the ship near the Grand Central area there. and you have a look around. We know to go straight toward those elevators and right on up onto Lido and grab a bite to eat for lunch. And then, so it wasn't, there was hardly any wait at all. But it was gorgeous.
I was talking to Scott about this last week during Icon of the Seas and him giving some impressions there. So I'm going to ask the same thing on this one. When people first enter the ship right there in the atrium, how bad is the bottleneck there when you're boarding the ship?
You know, there was a lot of the fun squad and some of the staff there that were motioning and you know, come this way, welcome this way. And they were keeping that really to a minimum. So it moves pretty quickly right there. But I think they're on top of it. I think they know that if they didn't have someone there kind of directioning people to the elevators or directioning people to Grand Central or to directioning people toward muster stations and things like that, they would probably have that. Yeah. But I didn't see it on the Jubilee.
What kind of stateroom did you have for this 7-night cruise? And what did you think of it throughout the week?
You know, we've stayed all over the ship in different locations and, you know, throughout 20 years of cruising, you know, we've really never had a bad stateroom and we tend to have a higher stateroom. You know, in this particular time, we had a balcony room on Lido forward of the ship. So it was a great room location. We really enjoyed it, really enjoyed the brand new room. A lot of the different innovations and things like that that you have in the new ships that you don't have on the older ships made it really nice. It was a great stateroom.
Does this ship have the USB-C or only USB?
It just has USB-C or the USBs.
Yeah.
On both sides of the bed, has USBs on the nightstand. Plenty of places to plug in electronics.
Gotcha. Okay. And as far as the balcony space, what did you think about the size? Is it a typical Carnival balcony?
Yes, Doug. It's a standard Carnival balcony. You know, the way the door operates is just a little unique compared to some of the older ones. But you know, it's identical to the Celebration, and I'm assuming the Mardi Gras. It was great. It was perfect size. Had a couple chairs out there. We could just kick back and watch the world sail away.
You mentioned the balcony door was a little bit different. Talk to us about that. Was it that child lock that was on there?
I did notice the childproof setting on it was pretty unique. But just the way that, you know, you have to pull the latch up and the door actually pushes away from the wall, makes it real easy to slide. And then once you slide it back into position and lower the latch back down, it really just makes a really great seal. You don't have to worry about any wind noise or anything like that. It was flawless, really.
Being on Lido deck, did you have any noise issues?
You know, we didn't. And that's always a concern of mine. And I'm always looking whenever I'm looking at stateroom or trying to pick a stateroom. I always look to see what's above me, what's below me, what's around me. Just because, you know, once you get in your stateroom and settle in for the evening, you want a nice quiet room. And we had no issues at all. We were Lido forward. So there were staterooms above us, staterooms below us. So it was a great location.
Shifting gears and talking about dining, we'll start at the Lido Marketplace up there on the same deck that your cabin was. So how was the food there throughout the week? And what were your thoughts of the layout up there?
It was great as far as a Lido goes. You know, the Lidos, as Carnival has transitioned throughout the years in their ships, they've, you know, the Lido area has changed. And I would say on the new XL class ships, and the same goes with the Jubilee here, you know, there's always seems like there was a decent offering there. It does seem scaled down. If you remember maybe the Dream class ships or even, you know, the Vista and some of those had a really large Lido area. Whereas it seems like on, to me, the Celebration, the Jubilee, the Marketplace seems just a little bit different, a little smaller. The stations are kind of set up a little differently. And it was the food variety changed throughout the week. I mean, it was all, as far as quality wise, was really nice. They had dessert sections, they had salad sections, they had, you know, your main course type sections with your meats and things like that. They were good. And of course, Carnival Lido breakfast is always solid on Carnival. You know what you're going to get. There was really no big surprises, but it does seem scaled back just a little bit as far as the marketplace itself.
Yeah. Now that you say that, I'm thinking when you walk in there, it's definitely like there's not as many either islands like some of the ships have, or the buffet, I guess the lines in the buffet as far as like how long the space is definitely a lot smaller. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Yeah, I think that may be something they were probably looking at, was because in some of the older ships, the lines did get pretty long, and you don't see a lot of long lines, or at least I didn't see a lot of long lines on Jubilee.
Yeah, no, certainly. Now, outside of the Lido marketplace, you have just a plethora of dining options. So let's go through those as far as like out by the pool, you have the Street Eats. Upstairs is Guy's Burger, Blue Iguana, Seafood Shack. Like, hit me with them. Would you go? Hit me with them. Where'd you go? And what'd you think of them?
Yeah, so early in the morning for a change in breakfast, I would highly recommend the Blue Iguana. The Blue Iguana area there where they have the fresh tacos, the fresh breakfast burritos in the morning is always a solid choice. The Street Eats area, that's the one that will kind of sneak up and get you, because you'll be walking down Lido and you look over there and you go, oh, well, that's different. That's pot stickers. I'd like to try one of those. And you just walk over and they hand you one, and, you know, you may not even be hungry, but you're definitely going to take advantage of some of the good eats there. So I would always highly recommend stopping by there and checking out to see what they have, because every day is different and it's delicious. Everything that we tried there in the Street Eats area was really good. You know, Guy's Burger, what can you say? You know, I try to limit myself as much as I can, because I know they're probably not the most healthiest thing in the world to eat, but I always try to, at least in a 7-day sailing, have one or maybe two of the old Guy's Burgers. And there's such a great thing. The one that I've walked away from, and you know, there's always that one thing you're sitting at home once you've been home for a few weeks and you look over and you say, you know, I would really like to have it's gotta be Shaq's Big Chicken. Mm-hmm. Those chicken sandwiches on the back of the ship, they're on the aft portion of Lido, are just out of this world. They are so good. You know, they've got all the fixings and everything there to put on the chicken sandwiches. And I'm telling you that Carnival hit it out of the ballpark when it came to Shaq's Big Chicken. That's the next Guy's Burger. I'm telling you, it's they're that good.
You know, I haven't had fast food since January 1st of 2017. So what is that, 7 years at this point? Okay, so I eat cruise ship fast food, like their pizza and the Big Chicken and Guy's Burgers, but nothing on land, like McDonald's and stuff like that. But this Big Chicken takes me back to Chick-fil-A. It might even be better.
Yes, definitely so. I would even say that it's probably, in my opinion, just a little tastier than Chick-fil-A, just because you can pile on the sides, you know, yourself. So it's definitely a home run.
I was watching one of the corporate chefs, I believe it was for Big Chicken, and he was kind of going over how to do the proper chicken sandwich or the breakfast sandwich. And he was showing, oh no, that's too much sauce, or pull a piece of chicken off, and making sure everyone was right. So you know, for quality control, and everyone tastes the same across every ship.
Definitely. So you can tell that, I mean, they had it down pat.
Down on deck 8, there's some other dining options as well. Did you get to check out any of that?
Yeah, we sure did, Doug. There's one thing I can say about these XL class ships is that you are not going to run out of options for food. In fact, I would go as far to say that you could literally eat in specialty dining and never even touch the dining room, which is a shame, because there are some really good offerings in the main dining rooms as well. But you know, we checked out on the Jubilee, the Cucina del Capitano, just a tip out there, Cucinas and the, I believe it's Shebang, those are both complimentary on this ship. And so, you know, we did a couple nights at Shebang, which is a Tex-Mex toss up. You know, you've got a menu, I wouldn't say Tex-Mex, I would say Mex and like a Chinese or an Oriental style. And you can choose from either or both, or a combination of, and have just some really good dinners there at Shebang's. One thing I would note about Shebangs, if you're looking for a quiet place to have dinner, that's probably not it. It just seems like there is such a roar of the crowd when you get that place full and everybody's having a good time and everybody's having their Mexican and Chinese dinners. It just seems like it just gets loud in there for, you know, it's a happening place.
You also have that dragon walking around too.
Yeah, they do all kinds of little things like that make it a really interesting experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a cool place. There's also, like I said, Kachina's. We had Kachina's one night, and I wish we would have went back another night. It's really good. It's always a solid favorite of our family. It's a great experience, and it's a little quieter atmosphere too in Kachina's. The main dining room, we tried to hit the main dining room at least a few nights. There's a few things always on the menu that we always want to try to catch in the main dining room, and it was great. We had some really good servers. We had anytime dining, which was really, really worked out well for our family. We utilized the app to set the, you know, to make your dining reservations in all the different locations, and that made it very, very convenient to, you know, you could be in the stateroom and decide, yep, go to dinner, and then, you know, start to get ready, get on the app, you know, check the wait time on the app, and they, you know, within 15 or 20 minutes, your table's ready. And by the time you've walked down, they just walk you right in the restaurant. It works out really nice.
How did the timing work out for you? So when you open the app and you're like, okay, we're ready to dine, and it shows you there's a 15 to 20 minute wait. Is that pretty much right on time, like within that time frame?
As far as our experience goes, whenever you reserved the table, whatever that time frame was, it was almost to the minute. Mm-hmm. There was actually a couple times where we had checked in and it was, you know, 20 to 30 minute wait, and you know, we got there a little early, and so there was still 15 minutes or so left. And it actually, you know, we got in quicker. So it was actually just a little quicker than what they had put on the app. So, but they were, you know, as soon as you were ready, you know, you walked up there and the hostess asked you what table you were at, and then they whisked you away to your table, and it worked out flawlessly.
Carnival's really leaning into Texas with this ship. Did you get to try any of that barbecue chicken pizza over at the pizza place, or the barbecue pulled pork sandwich at the deli?
So we tried pizza one evening there because we sell as a family. My daughter was with us, and she's really likes their pepperoni pizza, which is, you know, pretty much a staple. Mm-hmm. But I did try the barbecue pizza, and it was really good. Now, we just walked up and asked, you know, for the pizza, and there wasn't much of a line, and it didn't take them long, and they had it ready for us. So
you had the anytime dining, which was in the aft end or the back of the ship. So did you have any issues with service while you were in there, or were things pretty expedited and went out pretty fast for you?
Yeah, Doug, it was, you know, what you would expect from Carnival in the main dining room. The servers were great. You know, every time we got different servers. That's one thing about anytime dining is that you end up going to the dining room and you don't get that week-long conversation with your server, the same server every time, which I do miss that, don't get me wrong, because I really enjoy getting to know the crew on board. But everyone that we had that waited on us and took care of us in the dining room did an outstanding job. They were, you know, you could tell that it wasn't their first contract, definitely. So they were, you know, this was the third sailing of the Jubilee, and by the third sailing, they had everything down. There was not a lot of confusion. One thing I do, you know, throughout the years that we've noticed with Carnival is, you know, they've downsized the amount of staff that they've had in the dining rooms. And I think that plays to, there's so many different offerings around the ship as far as, you know, all the specialty restaurants. And so people don't just all show up at the same time in the dining room and pack them out like they used to. And so I'm sure they're diversifying where the crew go and whatnot. And you can, you know, from the service and the experience, you know, from 15 years ago, there's definitely a difference. But, you know, with the crew that we had helping us in the dining room, they did a great job.
How was the entertainment for the seven nights?
You know, the entertainment was good, Doug. We watched a few of the different shows that they offered. They have, of course, you know, they've got the old traditional love and marriage shows, kind of fun game night type stuff. That was good, entertaining. The Family Feud was really fun to watch. Now their production shows were good. There was one, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Doug. It was something about Dear Future Husband or something like that. It played early in the sailing. It was really a good show. You could tell the cast was still getting used to everything, but they did a great job. They had great vocalists and things like that. And then this was, you know, they played these shows in the Forward Theater, which is, I believe the name of it is the Jubilee Theater. It's the two-deck theater that's down on the lower decks there. I think it's on 6 and 7, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, they did a great job. Those theaters are not the big glamorous theaters of, say, the Dream Class and things like that. These are, you know, they're a smaller theater. They don't hold as many. I want to say it holds somewhere in the neighborhoods of 500 to 600, if I'm not mistaken. So they're not a huge theater. And you could tell when the one downfall, I would say, throughout the whole cruise that I noticed was the huge, because they would close the doors to the theater before they let you in the theater. They would open the doors 30 minutes before the show. Well, if you didn't get down to the theater within, I would say, 15 minutes or 20 minutes before the doors were even opened into the theater, you were probably not going to get a seat in the theater. It got so jam-packed right there around that stairwell, that forward stairwell, that people were backed up into the casino. And so it made it a little rough come showtime to get into the theater. And then, of course, you know, you had people showing up 10 or 15 minutes before showtime that would walk in and walk down the aisles and around the front and then out the back because there was no chairs. So I thought it was interesting that it was just, there was just simply not enough room for everybody. But I hand it to the cast and the crew. They offered the show multiple times throughout the week to give everybody an opportunity to see the show that wanted to see the show. Carnival has invested a huge amount on the Grand Central area. And it's such an amazing piece of hardware, really, when you go to thinking about it, technically speaking, the screens and how they move and all of the lights and the smoke and the lasers and the whole nine yards, you know, it's really a technological marvel, you know, the big wall there. But they only utilized it just a handful, I would say a few times on our sailing or some variety shows and variety acts. There wasn't any great big shows in the central area, which, you know, let's face it, there's not a ton of seating available really in that Grand Central area when they did have the shows, even on the Celebration, you know. And it was kind of odd because, you know, people were walking around back around where the Java Blue and all that is, and, you know, in the middle of the shows. And it's kind of an odd concept, but it's quite the technological marvel. But it seems like it's not utilized quite as much as it probably could on the Jubilee.
How were the sea days as far as crowds and congestion?
Doug, the sea days were great. Just like any cruise, you know, when you have a beautiful sunny day out, it gets sometimes a little more congested up on Lido. But one thing I will say about the Jubilee is you could always go somewhere and find a place to sit. There is seating around Lido, above Lido, in front of Lido, behind Lido. It seemed like it was everywhere. Up on the top decks, the areas up there always offered really good seating, and you could even find a quiet place if you wanted to, if you went up to Serenity and some of those areas. And a couple of days during those sea days, I simply went up and fell asleep. So it was great.
When you're piling so many people into a ship, a point of contention is always going to be the elevators. How were they on your sailing?
You know, I take the elevators about half the time, but I did overhear several people asking or commenting about the elevators. Two things. They said, boy, these elevators are very speedy. They're very quick. And then I've also heard people saying, boy, these elevators are a lot smaller than other elevators that we've been on. So there's, you know, you're getting you know, kind of the best of both worlds, I guess, with the elevators. But, you know, there's always folks standing around waiting on an elevator, it seems like. But the elevators moved pretty quickly. Sometimes you have to wait, you know, help somebody get on or off with, you know, with one of the mobility scooters or something like that. But, you know, everybody, it seemed like everybody on this ship were just happy to be on the cruise. So there wasn't a whole lot of complaining or anything.
As far as the ports of call, you had a few here. So what we'll do is give us the first one, give us your highlight, and then we'll move on to the next one.
Well, Doug, we started out, we had a couple sea days right off the bat, and then we went on to our first port of call was Mahogany Bay, Roatan, which we've been there a few times. That's Carnival has a really nice little beach area there to jump off, and they've got their little shopping village there. They've got zip lining and all sorts of water toys and a great little beach area there. They've even got the ski lift style lift that goes from one end to the other. And they've got a nice little nature trail there that you can take. And it's a good little place to jump off and enjoy the day. Some of their shops, I would say, if maybe throw out a tip, but if you're on this itinerary, some of the shops there in Mahogany Bay probably had some of the best prices out of all the stops that we've been to on this sailing. So we found that the pricing there on their shops and stuff was very economical. You know, we always jump on the ski lift just because we it's pretty inexpensive to do, and it's fun, and you can hop on, hop off. You can sit there and ride it around in circles as many times as you'd like. There's the beach is always nice there. It does seem to get a little bit crowded. The beach does, but there's also some shore excursions and things that you can take. The zip lining is a lot of fun there as well. It offers a big long drop on the zip line across a big moat, and it's really a lot of fun. So there's a lot of things to do there. We enjoyed the day spending time on the beach, taking a lot of pictures. I was able to get a few good shots of the Jubilee sitting there on the pier, which is nice. So that's basically what we did that day, is just enjoyed the port.
And then it's on to Costa Maya, Mexico.
Costa Maya was great. You know, we hadn't been there in a few years, actually. So things had changed. I remember the first time we went to Costa Maya years ago, Doug. Literally, there was no street. It was made of sand. It was kind of like a gravel road, for lack of better terms, with a few shops down it. And my, how things have changed. It is such a nice little place to stop. They have a huge pool there that really nice. You can literally watch them swim with dolphins right there off the pier. It's a great location, but they have a lot of great things you can do just right there around the pier. There's of course lots of excursions, like I said, swim with dolphins, that sort of thing is all offered there. The pricing and stuff we noticed in Costa Maya, it tend to be a little more expensive than Mahogany Bay, but you know, you can still find a place to crack open a coconut and enjoy a fresh coconut or piña colada, or and sit back and have the fish eat the skin off your feet and all the crazy things that people can find to do there in Costa Maya. But it was a great port that day. We were there from 8 to 5, Doug, and so it was, you know, by the time we leisurely got off the ship, it was, you know, we had a few hours to kind of hang out and do a few things and enjoy our time there, then back on board.
Have you done the feet fish or fish feet, whatever it is? We did it for our family thing last Christmas. It was wild.
I've looked at it, and I kid with my wife about it quite a bit. And I told her I'd pay to let her do that if she really wanted to, and she just kindly declined. But no, I never have, and it's always funny just to watch them to do that.
Yeah.
But no, I've never tried it. Just always been a spectator, I guess.
And your final port was Cozumel. How was that?
Cozumel is Cozumel, Doug. It's, you know, to me, it feels like home. We've probably sailed and been on Cozumel. Oh my goodness. It seems like every year for the last 20, and sometimes multiple times a year. So it just kind of feels like home. Cozumel is a great port, probably my favorite Mex haul for sure. They've got a great area there where you get off the pier and you can look around and shop. But I encourage people to go out, grab a taxi at least, and explore the city if you're not going to do anything else. We have a beach that we traditionally go to when we're there. It's called Palanikar Beach, and it's quite a ways down the island. We usually jump out and grab a taxi and head down there. And the beach has changed so much over the years. It was just a handful of guys and a small tiki bar, you know, next to the water. And it was so rustic and so awesome, but it's changed so much throughout the years now. It's just a nice beach where you can have a really nice authentic meals, and they've got loungers and all kinds of stuff there. They'll take you out snorkeling. They'll take you fishing. They'll take you, you know, out on a Sea-Doo or whatever you want to do there. But it still has that small, I would say, family feel to it at that beach. And it was great. We enjoyed the day. We had some fresh seafood cooked there. We did some swimming, and it was great. It was, you know, it just felt like, to us, it felt like going home. It's just a special place for us. But I, you know, if you're looking for more of a, I would say, a livelier atmosphere, or maybe a more party atmosphere or something like that, where you could really let your hair down, you know, there's always Mr. Sancho's and all of those type of Waimea and different places along the way that you can go to. And all of them are pretty highly recommended. There is literally something for everyone in Cozumel, Mexico. So you can't go wrong with Cozumel.
Yeah.
So even the shopping in the downtown area, you know, is really good. And, you know, you can wheel and deal with some of the folks there in the downtown area. And it always makes it fun.
It has been fascinating watching Cozumel change and evolve through the years.
Yeah, definitely. So, Doug, it's changed remarkably. I can remember going back to Cozumel even after the hurricane. And literally the island was almost wiped clean. And it's just amazing how much that it's regrown and rebirthed, and the jungle, the forest, and the vegetation has all, you know, grown massively again. And, the, you know, of course, all of the development and tourism and stuff that brings a lot of money into Cozumel. And it's really just a great, great destination. So we've even talked about going there, you know, and spending, you know, a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, just at one of the all-inclusives or something, just to kind of kick back and enjoy it. Cause it really is some of the most beautiful water there is, I believe, anywhere in the Mexico area there.
So heading back, you have that sea day. Let me ask you, because there's been some nasty weather in the Gulf this whole season, really, with docks getting banged up and ships staying overnight. How was your trip back to Galveston?
You know, we did have, on the way back, Doug, we did get into a little bit of rougher weather. There was a little bit of wind, and it always seems like to me, whenever you're making your way back to port, after that last port of call, it seems like you're trying to make a little time. And maybe that's just, you know, my speculation as you're making your headway back into the wind, but we did get into a little bit of rougher, seas. You could tell, I mean, every once in a while you'd feel a little bobble, but you know, the Jubilee took it like a champ, and it was great. You know, it was when we had left home, you know, we knew the temperatures were going to drop. And, you know, when you got into Galveston, I believe the temperatures were in the high 50s and 60s. Once we got into Cozumel and some of that area, you know, we were looking at the high 80s, almost 90 some days, just beautiful, beautiful weather. But on that last day back, we could tell the temperature was definitely changing. It was starting to get into that low 60s, into the 50s. And, you know, when we got back to Galveston, it was pretty much back to reality. The cold had set in. And by the time we had made it home, we were looking at almost single digit temperatures.
Yikes. How was the debark getting off of Jubilee?
Jubilee debark worked out great. You know, they send the letter to the cabin and say, you know, this is what time you need to be at this location and be ready to debark. We self-assist. We carry our bags off with us. We've learned throughout the years that if you just pack light, you know, it just makes things so much easier. So, you know, we basically all have a carry-on, and we can just zip right down and right out, and we're in location. We actually were supposed to be at go into the Jubilee Theater to wait for debarkation early that morning. But, you know, as soon as we exited the elevators and rounded the corner, the line had started, and we just, you know, dropped into the line there and waited. We might have waited 5 minutes. And then once U.S. border gave the clearance, they opened the gangway and out we went. It probably took, from the time we left the stateroom to the time we were on the curb, it was probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the max. So it was really flawless.
I forgot to ask you, for the Wi-Fi, did you have it at all? And if so, how were the speeds?
Yes, we did get the internet, Doug, just to kind of keep track of things back home and a few different things and you know, keep touch with everyone. It was great. I mean, you could literally do anything you wanted to do on your phone, anything you needed to do on a tablet or on your laptop. The speeds were great. I didn't run a speed test, which I kind of wished I would have now, but there was no lag time at all. So.
And as far as this casino is massive on deck 7 here on Carnival Jubilee, well, on all these Excel class ships, as far as the smoking situation, now, when I was on board, of course, it hasn't been smoked in yet. So there was no comparison. How was it during your sailing?
Well, Doug, I could say that it hadn't been smoked in much on our sailing. I mean, it's only the third sailing. So, you know, on the XL class ships, and especially this one, you know, there's two sections. There's a smoke-free section. There is a smoking section. Now, you take one of those nights where everybody is in there and, you know, they're hot and heavy. There's not a machine open anywhere. In the smoking section, you know it's a smoking section, but it didn't seem super overpowering. Now, if you go over into the non-smoking section, you smelled nothing. You smell nothing at all. And I do believe they use wind curtains along with some really nice sliding doors and stuff that will operate pretty quickly. So those coming in and out of the casino area and the smoking side, it really, you didn't smell it walking up toward the casino before you got into that area or around that area. Again, this was the third sailing, so, you know, time will tell. But I do believe that they work pretty hard on exchanging that air pretty quickly and efficiently nowadays as compared to some of the older ships.
Any first-time tips to offer someone who is either sailing Jubilee or going to the Western Caribbean?
You know, Doug, just go out and enjoy themselves and pick a cruise. I highly recommend Carnival. There's a lot of great cruise brands out there. The Western Caribbean is a great itinerary. Show up with an open mind and just relax. You're on vacation. No need to worry once you get on board, and just enjoy yourself. I mean, it's a cruise, Doug. You know, I've been on a lot of them, and still to date, I've never been on a bad one.
I hear you. Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise for y'all?
You know, Doug, it was just time to relax, unplug away from everything back home and just relax and enjoy time together and, you know, squeeze the lemon, they say. You know, get the most out of the day, every day, and, you know, just enjoy being there, being close to the sea, smelling the air, and just enjoying that time away.
100%, man. I love what you said there. We're not promised tomorrow. All right, your final thoughts of Carnival Jubilee.
It's been a long time since I was on the Jubilee, and this Jubilee does not disappoint. So I highly recommend it to anybody.
Been talking with Joe about his 7-night cruise on Carnival Jubilee. Joe, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Oh, you're welcome, Doug. It's my pleasure.
Just back from a cruise? Let's talk about it. Email Doug at cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at tripinsurance.com. Not only does tripinsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, tripinsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out tripinsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.